you were standing on Earth as a 150-pound man on the sun, because of the gravity pull, you'd weigh about 4,200 pounds. If we were able to detonate one, not million, but 100 billion tons, not pounds, tons, 100 billion tons of dynamite every second, we could match the Earth, the sun's power.
1.21 gigawatts!
Man.
100 billion tons per second.
I can't even keep track of that many decimal points. Whew. We're here talking solar energy with Dan King of Harmon Solar. If you'd like to contact his office to schedule a private meeting at your property to get an assessment and analysis done at your home, the number is 1-800-281-3189. And we bring in trusted experts like Dan all the time because there are a lot of people out there we would encourage you not to do business with, but we're not in the business of naming those companies. So if you're interested or concerned about getting a true, honest, completely objective analysis of solar manufacturing power at your home on your roof, it's Dan King, HarmonSolar.com, or 1-800-281-3189. We took a call in the last segment from Steve that was talking about a fixed income situation, retired, Social Security, but he also brought up the issue of real estate transactions, and boy, that was something we had to learn through the process about 5 or 6 years ago. If I am buying this home, what are the ramifications and analysis? How do I know it's even doing what it's supposed to be doing? I'm inheriting a system that's used. It's now become the biggest appliance in a home, so it's got to be assessed. It's got to be audited. It's got to be analyzed. I don't want to buy, so to say, a pig in a poke. So y'all are opening up a new service just to handle that kind of concern.
Yeah, it's interesting how the market responds to the different things that are out there. There's actually real estate agents that specialize in reselling homes with solar on them. So you get a specialist in that area as well. And then we've started offering a service where we go out, no different than a termite inspection or a home inspector, and we do a complete audit of an existing solar system and provide a report. And that could be used for a buyer or a seller, but it'll show you, are there any things that need to be repaired? Is the system operating properly? How much is it going to generate? It's very great information. And I think doing that in the transaction makes that even that lease transaction still not that big of a deal when you go to sell your home.
Now, Dan, as a homeowner, the technology involved in harvesting that sun and putting it into an inverter and shooting it into my electric panel and providing me with the power I need is way over my head. I can't understand any and all of that. How do I know the system is working? What kind of monitoring devices do the homeowners have to just kind of look at it and say, hey, something's awry, something, we need to service something?
Monitoring is very, very important. Anytime you put a system in, you should have a monitoring system. All of the inverters that are installed have an LCD display on them that can show you at any time how much energy was generated that day, and typically how much has been generated since the inverter was turned on. So okay. like a lifetime to date generation. You could look at that. I mean, that kind of gets cumbersome if you want to go out and check that every day.
Okay.
You can always notice your electric bill, in a 30-day cycle. And if it seems odd, you could go check your system. The easiest thing to do is every inverter manufacturer, there's a tons of monitoring systems out there. Get that installed when you install your system. There's phone applications, web applications. There's a ton of ways to manage that very, very simply.
All right. Very good. So we're kind of eliminating the anxiety of the real estate transaction. We're eliminating the anxiety of knowing whether or not your system's working or not. Now we've got a question from Mickey calling from West Surprise. Mickey, good morning. Welcome to Rosie on the House. Let me introduce you to Dan King of Harmon Solar.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey. My question was, I am not interested in putting solar panels on our home, but we do have a 3,000-square-foot steel building on our property, about 14, 16-foot high at the peak, I think. Not a whole lot to the structure on the roof other than the steel beams and then the steel panels going across. Is that something that panels can be put on?
Yeah, you can put panels on just about any structure. We just have to make sure that structurally it's okay. A lot of times the metal buildings are designed to not necessarily have any weight on them. They're
just be a standing tin can.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We have modified structures in the past like that to accept solar, or it may be designed okay to accept solar. The only way we would be able to determine that would be to come out, take pictures, to be able to present that to our structural engineer.
Understood. Well, thank you. I'll probably do that.
All right. You're welcome.
And putting them on outbuildings, what does that complicate the issue at all? I mean, look at all the school systems that are putting it on their parking structures. I mean, and they're a considerable distance from the actual consumption point.
It's not really a big deal.
Okay.
The farther away from the interface, from the service section you are, like if that outbuilding was, 500 feet or 1,000 feet away, that would probably get cost prohibitive. But if it's, not that far away, it's the extra cost of trenching and conduit and wire that goes from that outbuilding back to the house. And that really is the only added cost.
Okay. And we've just got hit with a question on Facebook keying off of Steve's question, calling from Sun City. He on retire. Mm-hmm. He says, yeah, but how about us winter visitors? Mm-hmm.
Well, the winter visitors, you still use energy, and actually, your system would be generating in the summertime when you're not here consuming the same amount of energy. So
you'd have like a negative bill constantly.
Yeah, what that means is you can install a smaller system and still benefit just like everybody else.
Okay, so winter visitors, it can make sense for?
Absolutely.
Fixed income folks, yeah. It can make sense for?
I had another one. Caller was working in the yard and didn't want to hold, but he said he has mostly gas in his house. The only thing electric is the air conditioning.
Dual
so
it'd energy.
Be worth it for him.
Okay. Well, that's air conditioning isn't the only thing that's running on electric. He obviously has refrigerators, computers, home entertainment systems, lighting, electrical receptacles.
Yeah.
But it is a great question. When you take your hot water heater, when you take your cooking appliances and you move them all offline by a dual energy home and providing natural gas to those appliances, what impact and payoff do you see on those kind of homes?
If you have an electric bill, we can help you. So whatever the electric bill that's left over, my home, we have gas, cooking and hot water. And my electric bill was still, $300 a month on average. So with solar, I don't really spend any money on energy.
For the winter visitors and for the dual energy homes, you're just customizing a smaller manufacturing facility, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. And those are becoming more and more efficient. And SRP's got a new plan, so I'm trying to hit all the major topic points here that I want people to hear, because they could get any. I mean, you go to a home show, any home show that's in Arizona, and you're going to see 15 or 20 different solar distributors, and they're all going to have a different story. And all I'm trying to do is help get the right story out there.
Yes.
So, again, it's Dan King, 1-800-281-3189, harmonsolar.com. If you don't want to have a salesperson, if you don't want to operate under the pressure of a salesperson, you wouldn't operate under pressure if someone from Harbin was at your house. But you can talk to Dan right now. We have an open line at 1-888-767-4348. And we could go political here for a minute because someone online is obviously has interest in the solar industry, and they're wanting to know, well, how should I vote on the Corporation Commission? Because we certainly know that was a hot topic in the primary elections not too long ago. But on the topic of elections, I'm going to jump on politics here just for 30 seconds because that's all Jennifer will let me do. She times me out, says, no, we're not going there. This is a home improvement show, not a political show. Listen, the fifth and final gubernatorial debate is coming up this week. It's Tuesday. It's 11:45. You can watch the whole thing on azcentral.com. Would y'all please vote? And would you please not vote based on some soundbite or some negative campaign ad? If we'd quit voting according to those negative ads, they'd quit running those negative ads. Start asking the candidates for meat and potatoes. Don't tell me what the other guy's not going to do. For gosh darn it sakes, tell me what in the heck you're going to do. So get educated, stay tuned, look at this gubernatorial debate, vote with your brains, not off some stupid soundbite. That's 11:45 Tuesday. You can watch the whole thing at azcentral.com. And Jennifer's jumping up and down. I've been timed out on my political segment of the show. Oh, man.
That wasn't like a statement of one way or the other. That was just a how to use politics.
Well done.
Best practices.
There you go.
Golly, it's unbelievable to me how little people consider the weight of how important a vote really is. It drives me nuts.
Somebody broke down the 60-second timeline of a political ad, and I mean, it was absolutely hilarious because they nailed it to the T. Negative message, reaffirming data, Darth Vader style music, cue the sunshine music, and everything positive about yourself. You could track that to virtually every ad that runs.
Well, I'm tired of the way the elections have been going for a long time. I'm tired of negative ads, and I'm tired of the fact that they work. And they work because that's the way people vote anymore. It just grinds me up. Back to the topic of solar industry here with Dan King of Harmon Solar. Again, he wanted your recommendations as a corporation commission. Your wife is saying, Dan, don't go there. She's very smart.
I would answer that question how you just said. You listen to all the information and make an educated choice.
Golly. And they kind of rose to the forefront as to their position on solar energy because they were reassessing the net metering issue just last year.
Who was that?
The Corporation Commission.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Rose it right up to the top of the media spectrum. Yeah. They were on the radar screen every single day, right? So we're through the primaries there. We've got an election to conduct here. Let's talk a little bit about what you should look for. We're talking about not negative campaigning. What should you look for in a solar contractor?
Well, you obviously want to check the ROC, you know, the Registrar of Contractors, and make sure that they have a valid license and an accurate license for the work that they're doing.
That's another confusing topic. Do I need a roofing license? Do I need an electrical license? Do I need a plumbing license? Mm-hmm. Do I need a solar license? Well, the registrar has recently kind of cleaned all of those things up and really made it a lot easier for the consumer. When we get back, we're going to be talking more about things and steps you should take to verify your solar contractor is the right contractor to be on your property. I've actually stopped and chased solar contractors off a woman's home near Bethany Home and 15th Avenue. They were mounting panels to a 20-year-old roof that didn't have another year or two left in its life cycle. They actually called the cops on me. More when we get back here at Rosie on the House with Dan King of Harmon Solar.